My name is Jeremiah. I am the youth director here at the church. Give it up for the youth. Doc has been my pastor for over 20 years now, and it's an absolute honor to be preaching from his podium this morning. And I know Doc's probably watching at the edge of his seat at home right now, so Doc, I want to say thank you, and welcome for everyone else watching online. Let me invite God into the room this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would speak through me in the kind of way that just reaches the hearts of everyone here this morning. I thank you for the life you've given us. I thank you for the beautiful nature that we get to experience. I thank you for just the gift it is to have this life, Father, and be able to know you and worship you and love you. And I pray that that we can continue to spread your love. In your son's name we pray, amen. So my wife and I bought a house in Berea over 3 years ago, and we never thought that we were going to move north of Medina. Like, we always planned on getting a house with some land, some four-wheelers, and then we came across this house in Berea, and we fell in love with it. We looked at it. It was pretty old. It had the old bones, but there was just something about it. And what did we have any Berea residents in here? Couple? There we go. Go Titans. What we loved most about it was not the abundance of squirrels, because if you're from Berea, you know there's a lot of different color squirrels, and they're just everywhere. But we loved the history. We loved, our home was from 1905, and there was a lot of like old century homes that are just gorgeous. But the thing I love the most is Berea has some of the biggest trees that I've ever seen in a suburb in Ohio. Like, I know if you go to Hocking Hills and stuff, there's big trees, but it just, in a city, Berea has some of these crazy, gigantic trees. And Lex and I, we like to go on these long walks. And if you don't know me, I'm a big plant guy. I landscaped for like 6 years, it felt like 15. But I always had this knack for making sure things got planted the right way and they got nurtured and pruned and just taking care of them. It was just something I always loved. I always loved being in nature. And Lex and I would go on these long walks, and we would look at these century homes, and we would try guessing how old they are and what it took to build them and what we would do if we lived in these houses. And on one of our walks, we found this tree that was the biggest tree that I've ever seen. I know there's big trees in California, redwoods and stuff, but we walked across this tree, and obviously, we all know pictures don't do justice, right? If anyone's ever been to Grand Canyon, when you look at a picture of the Grand Canyon, it's not the same. This tree, I'm telling you, is ginormous. The branches coming off of it would take a couple people just to wrap their arms around the branch. But we walked past this tree, and we just stopped. We stopped in our tracks, and we stared at it. And we tried guessing how old it was, and I thought maybe it was 300 years old. And I gave it the name Big Tree. Because it's a big tree, you know? And when we first noticed this tree, anytime family members would come over, I would try to get them to go on a walk with us so they can come see Big Tree as well. And I don't know how this tree was planted. I don't know if it was one of the squirrels in Berea picked up a seed and dropped it there, pooped it out, whatever, and the tree ended up growing. I don't know if a helicopter fell off of a tree and the wind blew it and it landed there. But I like to picture a father and son back in the 1800s. Maybe the son was outside playing, and one of the helicopters blew off a maple tree, and he was like running around trying to catch it, and he caught it. And then he ran over to his dad, and he asked his dad, "Can we plant this? Can we plant this?" And his dad said, "Yeah." So they go find a spot in the backyard. They dig a little hole. They put the seed in the ground. They cover it with some soft dirt, and they start to water it and nourish it, and they watch it grow. And in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks about what it looks like to plant good seeds. So if you haven't noticed where this sermon's going, if you haven't noticed the shirt's Rooted, that's the title of this sermon today, is Rooted. In the Gospel of Matthew, it's Matthew 13 that we're going to be looking at. I know they're going to have it up here, but it's 1 through 9, and it says, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. And other seeds fell on good soil, producing grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let them hear." So I know, give it up for the student ministry over here one time. I know we have a lot of kids in this church who are going to be leaders. Some of them are going to be leaders in their homes. Some of them are going to be leaders in their schools, leaders in their group of friends. I know God wants to use these kids in a special way. And I want us to be a generation that grows deep roots. I want us to be the kind of people that will not be shaken in our faith. I want us to be the church that is known for having good soil. I want to be a church where people stop and look because we have such a rich, deep history in our roots. A century church that endures all of the test of times. A century church that is not uprooted through recessions. A church that is not uprooted through pandemics or politics. I want to be a church that stands firm in following Jesus Christ. For most of my life, I had very shallow roots. I believed in God, but my faith was easily scorched. I got distracted by temptation. I got caught up in the cares of this world, and I never took good care of the seed that God had planted in my life and blessed me with. And then I struggled for 10 years with drug addiction. And I put my addiction as my top priority in my life. And so I would go through these moments where I would start to get sober and then I would relapse. And my seed was scorched. And I kept saying yes to things that were just wrecking my soul. Until almost 5 years ago, I decided to put Christ at the center of my life. I decided that I'm going to start taking care of my seed no matter what it took. That I was going to make Christ my top priority. And I couldn't have stayed sober for almost 5 years without him. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Because I want to be a man who is patient enough to see the fruit. I want to talk to the students. I don't know if they're all in here right now, but I want to talk to the students for a minute. I wish I would have been bold enough to do this when I was in high school. I wish I would have grown deep roots, that my faith would have mattered to me more than anything else. When I was in high school, that was like the time of my life where I didn't really go to church much. And if I would have been a part of a student ministry and gone on mission trips, that could have changed everything for me. I wish I would have cared less about fitting in and not what everyone was doing and trying to follow everybody else. I wish I would have invited Christ in the decisions that I was making. But I believe that this next generation, that your generation, can be the one that does not get uprooted. I believe that you can be men and women that produce the fruit some 30, 60, 100-fold. And I want to talk to the rest of the room too. Some of you are producing good fruit. And I want to encourage you this morning, do not grow weary in doing good. Because some of you have a history with Christ. But somewhere along the way, maybe you got distracted. Maybe you had kids or your calendar just got a little too big. You stopped paying attention to your seed and you stopped paying attention to the things that were important in your life. But I encourage you this morning, it's never too late to call on the God who nourishes the good seed that he planted in your life. This morning, I want to talk about how we can take care of that seed of faith that God has blessed each and every one of us with. So I'm going to look at, we have three ways on how we can be rooted in deep faith. And the first way is how we can accept the gift. So I'm going to look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 real quick. It says, For by grace you have been saved by saved through faith, sorry. And this is not on your own doing. It is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We have to be honest with God. We have to say, God, I don't want to do this by myself anymore. I've tried for too long. It's not working. I want to partner with you in this life. I'm sorry for the ways that I've not prioritized you, but I want to give my life to you because you died on the cross for me. I want my life to be filled with worship. I want you to be my everything. We have to receive the free gift of salvation. And when you decide to follow Jesus, sometimes it feels like you can go on the spiritual high, right? You feel like nothing can get in the way of your relationship with Christ. And for the past 2 years, we've done baptisms on the mission trip. And it is something that is so beautiful and amazing to watch these kids get baptized. And it's a spiritual high for everyone that's there. And whether you've gone on one of these mission trips or not, you know, whether you're a student or not, you know what it feels like, how close you feel to Christ. But then what happens is we come home from these trips, we go back to our daily routine, and that spiritual high starts to fade. When we have these holy moments in our life, it is important that we seek Christ, not just those religious moments. The only way we can grow deep roots in our spiritual life is when it's sustained by Christ and Christ alone, not just religious moments. So maybe for some of you, you haven't been on a mission trip, but you know what it feels like to be close to Christ. You've had moments in your life where you felt his presence. You had moments in his life where you felt very close to him. When we accept the gift of faith, we have to make sure we plant it in good soil. So the second point that we have here is planting it in good soil. Because church, God has given us a seed, but it's what we do with it, where we choose to put it in our life that matters. My wife and I have, I'm sure you guys have seen her, this beautiful baby girl, Selah. There she is. That was her second birthday. We got her this little four-wheeler thing. She was very excited. I ended up taking her out for a walk right after that. And she was riding it on the sidewalk for maybe 20 seconds, and then she made me carry it. And we walked around the corner, and there's like this crabapple tree that dropped a bunch of berries. And we were both barefoot, obviously. And she didn't want to step on them, so she was like trying to tiptoe around them. And then when we were coming back, she thought, I'm going to get on the cart and ride over those berries. So right when we got to them, I was like, all right, let's try not to step on them. She's like, no, no, cart, cart. She got on it and then just drove over it. And the second she passed it, she made me take the cart right back. But Selah is, she's something. Every night, I usually put her to bed and I'll hold her. And I'll say a prayer with her. And then I'll ask her to say her prayer. And she says, Dear Jesus, I love you. Amen. And then I'll tell her that she's beautiful and she's smart and funny. And she's brave. And I'll say strong and she'll put her arm up. And then I'll say, Who's your best friend? And then she says, Dada, every time. But she is something. And when we were planning our baby shower, we wanted to get everyone a gift. So Lex and I, we got these packets of seeds so that when people planted them, they would be reminded of Selah. But then life got a little busy after the baby shower. As you can imagine, we had a lot of gifts, and we had to go home, and some of the gifts I had to put together. We had to set up Selah's room, and I did some wallpaper and painted, set her crib up, baby-proofed the house. I had to make sure the missus got enough foot rubs. And we forgot to plant the seeds. And they just sat on our kitchen counter, still in the pack. The seeds were still good. They could have turned into something beautiful. If we would have put them in the right environment, if we would have planted them, if we would have nourished them, cared for them, they could have grown and turned into something beautiful, a beautiful garden of flowers. But we forgot about them. We left them on the counter. We got distracted. And unfortunately, I think we do the same thing with our faith sometimes. We get this beautiful gift and we put it in the wrong areas in our life. We have these beautiful moments with God, and sometimes we just leave them on the counter. We have a powerful moment with Him in worship, or we hear His voice whisper to us in a sermon. We feel His presence in our heart, and then service is over, and we go home, and we want to get comfy, and we set it on the counter, and we forget about it. Maybe we get distracted, or we get stressed, or we get busy. We don't plant it in the spot where it can grow. Or maybe for some of you, you did plant it, and it was starting to grow. But then you went off to college, right when things were starting to feel really comfortable in life. Everything changed. You had to say goodbye to some old friends. You had to make new friends. Maybe you had to move away from home. Maybe there was people that you ran into that started making you feel stupid for your faith. Or maybe you had a professor that started making you question. And your faith started to get choked out by the thorns. And you started letting the weeds grow up around you. Or for some of you, you let your seed grow, and it was starting to grow, and the roots were starting to deepen. It was starting to bear fruit, and it was the most important thing in your life. God blessed you with the very thing you were praying for. But then you got it, and you forgot about Him. You were praying for a spouse, but now prayer is not a part of your marriage, the marriage that you were blessed with. Or maybe you had kids, and your kids started growing up, and they started playing sports, and what was once going to church every Sunday as a family turned into going to church when we have time. The quality of their souls should matter more than the sports career, right? And I played a lot of sports when I was a kid. Sports are not bad things. Sports are fun. Ohio State's fun to watch. But the quality of my eternal soul matters much more to me now than sports ever did. Or maybe for you, what was once daily Bible reading turned into your Bible sitting on a shelf or on your desk next to your bed, collecting dust. You see, we take something good, this beautiful gift of God, and we set it on the counter instead of planting it in good soil. So what does good soil look like? For Lex and I, it's prayer. It's about learning through him, through scripture or through podcasts or sermons, whatever it is. It's about learning who God is. It's about prioritizing him in our life. It's about prioritizing our church life and being there every Sunday. It's pleading with the Lord for our marriage to be healthy, for our kids to be healthy. It's putting Christ above everything, even each other. And obviously, we don't always get it right. We're never going to get it right. We're not perfect. But that's what we strive for. That's the type of person, the type of life that we want to live. Good soil means you put your faith as your top priority. It means you have to sacrifice some of the things that they might be good, they might seem good. You have to sacrifice them for someone who actually is good, for someone who is worthy. If you struggle with waking up on Sunday mornings, you might just have to change what your Saturday looks like. Lex and I have to say no to a lot of things on Saturday night, because coming to church is our top priority. Feeding our souls with who God is our top priority. It might mean you have to be picky about the relationships you have in your life. Maybe you have to call out some of your friends or family on some gossip. Or maybe you have to call the people in your life around you to be better. We have to be serious about making Christ our top priority, and he has to be at the throne of our life. So we need to get serious about planting our faith in good soil. And now the third thing we need to do is we need to nourish it. When we bought our house, my nephew Kai, who's actually here this morning, what's up, Kai? Give it up for Kai. He picked out this little ivy plant as a housewarming gift, and we put it right there on that cabinet by our window. And we thought that that would be the best place. It would get a lot of sunlight. That plant actually will do good anywhere, I found out. It will do good anywhere. Don't have to water it often. But we put it there. We thought that would be the best place for it to grow. And as this plant got bigger, its vines started growing off that cabinet, and one of the vines goes all the way up, yeah, and then down, which we loved. It was beautiful. And then we had this little monster who wasn't an issue at first, but then she realized she had these trunks that work, and she started walking around, and then she got a hold of that plant. Not fun. This actually happened 3 different times. Soil just all over her hair, and this would happen. You'd hear like a bang. You'd look over, and she would just be like, "Uh-oh," but she didn't want to move because there's just soil all over her. So we had to come and grab her. It would have been a lot easier for us to just throw this plant away after the first time it happened, because it was just an absolute mess, and once we cleaned it up, we're like, should we had to take the furniture out, we had to take the rug outside, shake it, vacuum everything, wipe everything down, give Sela a bath. It would have been a lot easier to just say, this is not happening again. We're done. Sometimes this is what happens in our faith. We have taken care of the gift of God that He has given us, and it's healthy, and it's growing, and it's producing fruit. We've stayed strong for years. But then we lose somebody that we didn't think we'd have to lose. And our faith is pulled down and uprooted. And there's a mess everywhere. We start questioning God. We start questioning His goodness. We start wondering why, how this could happen. And we take that seed that was once thriving and we throw it away. Or maybe some of us, start getting critical of the church. I know we hear a lot of things on the news, the poor way that it talks about our church. Maybe we start hearing that and our faith starts getting uprooted and we start questioning everything. Or maybe we get into a relationship and that other person doesn't believe in God. And it's kind of a battle at first, like, what do I do in this situation? And it feels easier to just not worry about it and just throw it away. You see, it would have been a lot easier for my wife and I to just take that plant and throw it away. Just take all the mess of it and just get rid of it. But it mattered to us. It was messy, but we didn't abandon it. We picked it back up, we repotted it, put new soil, watered it, and nourished it back to life. There was something about that plant, the fact that we got it when we first moved in from my nephew, that mattered to us. And now today, that plant is still alive and it is thriving. And sometimes I just want to cut the branches off because it's getting a little too crazy, but it's beautiful. And just like that whole situation, our life is never going to be easy. But our faith in Christ is what keeps us moving. We are a church that steps into the messy. We are a church that steps into the hard. We are not a church of quitters. We are a church of fighters. And it's worth it, guys. Following Christ is worth it. We have to nourish it. We have to become a daily Bible reader. God speaks to us in such beautiful ways through Scripture that can make us know who He is, grow us in our guidance and our comfort and our strength in life. Nourish your roots with worship. Spend time with Him. Nourish your roots with prayer. I've tried to make it a habit to, before I go to bed, get down on my knees and just be in the presence of my Heavenly Father. And there's something so powerful when you just treat Him like your friend and you block out everything else in the world and you just talk to Him. I want us to be a church that has deep roots. I don't want us to be a church that gets scorched up. I don't want us to be a church that gets choked out by the thorns. I don't want to be a church that has a strong faith for seasons of life, but then we end up moving backwards. I want to be a century church that is known for bold faith, a century church that is known for how much we love our Father in heaven. Parents, I want us to be parents that have deep roots, parents that aren't afraid to do the hard things. Parents that move towards the problems instead of avoiding them. Parents that love our kids the way that Christ calls us to. Parents that raise a generation of kids that want to go on the adventure of faith with God. kids that trust him, that know him, kids that give their life to him. I want this next generation to have deep roots that cannot be shaken, that cannot be pulled up by the things of this world. I want this next generation to be firm in following Jesus Christ because he is worthy of it all. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning. I thank you for the seed that you've planted in each and every one of our lives. I pray that we would know where to put that seed, Father. We would know how to nourish it and take care of that seed. And that our faith can be stronger because of who you are, because of what you did for us. And that we can just remember that, Father, and carry that with us. We love you so much, Father. We praise you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.